Welcome to the Steve's Dying Guitar Podcast, brought to you by GuitarZoom.com. If you want to improve your guitar playing, keep listening. If you want to improve even faster, go to GuitarZoom.com, where you'll find all of Steve's premium courses, masterclasses, and memberships that'll help you quickly and easily improve your playing. Now, here's your host, Steve Stein.
Steve Stein, how are you, sir?
I am good, Dan Denley. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you for being here. Thank you to all of you for being here. If you're watching this live, certainly appreciate it. If you want to learn some blues licks, keep watching. If you want to learn them even faster, you can get Steve's brand new course called Blues Licks, now available at guitarzoom.com. That's guitar, zoom, ZOOM.com. If someone would be kind enough to put that in the old comments, for us, that would be really awesome. And hopefully there's a link around here somewhere that you can click on if you want to check out Steve's brand new course. And today we have something cool for you. Is it five modern blues licks?
It is, yeah. We're going to be looking at five kind of out of the ordinary box blues licks that we can certainly consider modern, yes.
Five out of the ordinary box blues licks that are modern. That's what it is. This is going to be so cool. I can't wait to hear it. Yeah. Lay it on us, dude.
Okay, so the first one we're going to do here is, if you think about your standard pentatonic position, A minor pentatonic. This is going to set up some of the other ones we're going to do here. So what I like to do is, for instance, if I was to take that pentatonic scale, minor pentatonic, and add in what's referred to as the major sixth. Now, it's okay if you don't know what that is, but it gives it kind of a, what we call a Dorian sound. Now, what I like to do is I'll take that, and what I'll do is I'll take the other notes here, and I'll add in the root, the minor third, the flatted five, which is the blues note if you think about it. Okay, and then I'm going to go to the major six here, and then I'm going to go back up, and I've got my root and my minor third. Now watch this. And when I play it, I get a diminished lick. Now, diminished licks are really fun to play on the guitar because they're this weird shape that just gets repeated over the fretboard, and that's what I'm going to show you. So if I was just to play this, what I'm going to do is start on the fifth fret here, and I'm going to play 5-8, 7, 5-8. And you can see how, if you know your pentatonic, I'm playing 5 and then the blues note there. And then here's this new note, and then 5-8. And you get this sort of Yngwie Malmsteen-ish sound. Now, right now you might be thinking, well, it doesn't really sound like blues though, but we'll come back to that. What I want to show you, what makes this really fun, is if I look at the top side of this lick, which is the 8th fret, I can go to that 8th fret and play the exact same shape again. Now I'm on 11. Now I'm on 14. And I can play that same shape, just connecting every 4 frets there. And I get this diminished sound. Now, at any time, what I love to do with this is not just play all of those sequentially up the fretboard, but if I can visualize each one, or at least visualize the ones that are in the positions that I'm familiar with, the box that I know, what I'll do is combine that sound with the traditional pentatonic stuff. And I get those kind of sounds.
Dude, that is a really cool sound, and I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, I don't remember when I learned this. It was a long time ago, but I remember sitting there looking at that going, well, that's pretty cool. Now, there are times like that where we can take the sound of another chord or something and superimpose it over the top, and in itself, it doesn't necessarily sound like blues, but what it does is it gives you all these unique color sounds, so at any point you can drop back into your typical pentatonic or bluesy sounds. And you get this really cool sound. So if I was to do that in a couple of spots, you You see, I could maybe do something and it pushes me into a new position on the guitar to do something else, you see? So I love to not only learn licks, but then learn what I can call this, I would probably call this like a pattern. And it just superimposed over the top of all the normal things that I could do. So at any point, I can drop into something else from that idea. So if you get used to seeing that, visualizing that kind of diminished looking thing, which really is diminished, but if you learn to visualize it, you can superimpose all your other stuff around it.
Dude, that is really, really cool. So that's the first of these five. Where do we go from there?
Okay, so that's our first one. So the second one we're going to do is we're going to come off of this one. We're going to go up to the 10th fret here. And we're going to play that. Now this one, again, can do lots of different things, but what you're going to notice is, again, it's outside the box. It's not just playing minor pentatonic or major pentatonic or something. It's borrowing all kinds of notes from all kinds of different places. So I'm doing a hammer-on pull-off from 10 to 11, doing my pull-off from 13 to 10, and then right here, I'm playing 11 and 12. And then I go back up to the 10, 13. And then right there, we kind of hit our blues mark again. So I slide from 12 to 14, and it sounds like we're kind of back in blues. And then I just tag it with something, like I come down the pentatonic. Love these little half step slides, which can be used almost anywhere.
That's amazing, man. The thing I love about this is that it's that kind of ear bending quality that gives a solo its distinctiveness.
Yeah, and that's something that a lot of people struggle with, is when they play, everything is. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying that if all you know is your pentatonic, it's hard to break out of that sound. So the sound, you know, the benefit of the pentatonic is when you play pentatonic, you're not hitting any wrong notes. The downside of the pentatonic is there's really no color in it. You know, that's why bending, sliding, things like that begin to add some color into the pentatonic without actually playing new notes. Because when you bend, you get this, you know, it's not just being here and then being here. It's all that out of tune stuff in between in the bend that makes all of that color. You see, it's not just playing this and this, the two notes. That isn't very exciting. It's all that stuff. So what we learn to do is we've got to find a way of being able to break out of the traditional pentatonic, if you will. And again, I'm not saying that pentatonic is bad, and I'm not saying that we don't all use it. I use it all the time. But if you can expand on the pentatonic, you know, with simple ideas like, you know, other things that you and I have talked about, playing the blues note, the minor to major third, you know, things like that, it sounds really great. So if I stay away from that pentatonic sound for the diminished, for instance, and then drop back in, it sends your head kind of in a spin for just a little while, and then you can come back, you see? So with the second lick, there's some chromatic, if you will, some chromatic elements going on in there, but they're not all based on just blues sounds. Where if I just played all that in a scale, it doesn't really sound that unique. But if I can manipulate those notes, and then, of course, again, re-edify the fact I'm in blues with that little slide at the end, that kind of brings it all together.
It's super cool, man. I love it. So, guys, if you want to check out Steve's new course, all about blues licks, it's cleverly titled Blues Licks by Steve Stein. It's available right now, and a whole lot of people have enrolled in that course. It's at GuitarZoom.com. What else you got for us, Steve?
All right, so the third lick we're going to look at here, again, a number of a few years ago, I started really getting into what are referred to as 2-1-2 patterns, because it's a very modern way of playing arpeggio ideas on the fretboard without just playing root, third, fifth, if you know what that is. And it's okay if you don't. But basically what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to take this idea and sort of superimpose it over that A, this thing, which you can see flows nicely into getting back into the pentatonic. So what I'm playing here is 3-7 on the fifth string, and that's my two notes. And then on the next string, I play a 5. That's my one note, which is where the idea of 2-1-2 comes from. I'm playing two notes and then one note. And then on the next string, I'm playing two notes, and then 5 on the next string is a one note. And then I'm playing two notes, 3-7. So I'm playing 2-1, which feels like an arpeggio. You see? And then I do it again. So it's easier to play because you don't wind up, if you've ever done sweeps before on the guitar, you're not barring over things. It's easier to kind of flow across the guitar. And then you see I can drop right back into my A at any time. So you just think of it as two string groupings, 3-7 and then 5. And then the next one's going to be 4-7 and 5. And then the next one's going to be 3-7. And then I'm actually done right there. Now, all of these notes, again, would have theoretical titles, and I don't want to worry about that right now. What I want you to do is think about the sound. How that would make for a really nice, what makes it sound so cool is that it's very intervallic. It breaks apart this way of playing. And don't get me wrong, I love that stuff. But what this does is it offers you a different kind of tonality by spreading everything out. And then once you get into that position, you just bop right back into the normal blues stuff that you might normally play.
It's so cool sounding, man. I absolutely love it. Now, that's one of the, that's three of the five licks. Yes. Or are we going to, is it 5 or 4?
It's 5.
Okay. And the cool thing about this is it's taking elements from all different styles and scales. And because my mind is very theory oriented. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what those notes are, which scale it is, and, you know, which is just nerd stuff, and who cares? You know, it's like you don't have to know that all that theory stuff to be able to take this course and to really excel with it. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I love theory too, but and sometimes theory can be very beneficial for us, but sometimes I've always told people theory has to be something more than just something you and I can talk about. You know, have a beer and discuss theory, which a lot of people, that's what theory is. It's a way of talking to each other, which is great. But it's really learning how to convert that into something that you can apply to your fretboard that makes sense in your head, but yet comes out your fingers. So for me, theory is always kind of a secondary thing. And again, I don't mean any disrespect. I find theory to be very, very, very important. Don't get me wrong. But in this stage, I think if you could learn to play some things that sound like, I'm always telling people, like, there's a difference between sounding like you're practicing and sounding authentic. Authentic to me, I hate to use the word professional because that means like you're getting paid or something stupid like that. I just mean you've been in a music store or you've been at a performance where you hear somebody play the guitar and you go, yep, they sound good. That's the way it's supposed to sound. And then there's other times that you hear people and you go, oh, they're practicing. They're obviously working on something, right? And the trick is to try and get to a place in your playing where when you play, people just accept it as music. It's not because it's fast or slow or complicating or simple. It's none of those things. It's just, you know, you look at B.B. King, he was a very simple player, but when he played, you heard music. You know, you didn't hear him practicing, you heard him playing. And so that's what I think about all these sorts of things is, you know, if you like that diminished idea, you've got to find a way of wrapping it into what you already do to sell it, for lack of a better term. And again, I don't mean financially. I mean, when you play, people go, oh, that was cool. And all of these licks that I'm showing you have those elements because they step outside the box, like I said at the very beginning. They're a little bit twisted, a little bit different than what you'd normally expect from pentatonic and blues.
If you're enjoying this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, go to GuitarZoom.com and consider becoming a premium member. There are three memberships to choose from. VIP, which gives you instant access to a library of short but powerful courses, as well as new bite-sized lessons each month. There's also Play Songs, that gives you step-by-step lessons so you can learn to play your favorite songs fast. And finally, there's Masterclass, university-level training on everything from soloing to music theory, from blues to home recording. For more info about these memberships and all the premium courses available to you, go to GuitarZoom.com. Now back to the podcast.
I love it. Now, if you could answer this question for us, Steve, on Inner New Blues Licks course, can someone just get that course and let's say that they're really into this particular idea that you're showing us here? I know you've got some classic blues licks, you've got some modern blues licks, some fusion licks, you've got kind of those Chuck Berry things, you've got all of that stuff in this blues licks course because it's comprehensive. Would it be okay for someone just to jump in and like jump right to this section of the course?
Well, sure. I mean, you could go anywhere you want in there. You know, the course is basically set up so it starts explaining the elements of the scale and what we're going to do with the scale and how licks are created, right? And then it just moves into, I mean, it makes a progression. It starts very easy understanding how licks are built, how they're connected, that sort of thing. And then it moves into more traditional classic kinds of blues licks and things like that. And always remember, your job with anything is to put your take on it, put your spin on it. Play it the way it feels best to you. Play the fingering that feels best. Play the vibrato that feels best. If I'm picking it and you need to hammer or you need to pull, do more legato stuff, always convert it to something that makes more sense to you because you're the one that has to sell it. Again, and I don't mean that in a financial sense. I mean, you're the one that has to allow it to sound authentic. And so as the course keeps going, then things just get a little more complex. Some of the licks get faster. Some of the licks get a bit more stretched out like we're doing right now. Some of the licks use a lot more color sounds. Some of it might be too colorful. Like you might listen to a lick and go, oh, that's a bit out there for me. That's okay. Then that's not the one that you're looking at. You know, I've always looked at these blues licks as it's not like you're trying to dig in and learn 85 different blues licks that you're going to use. My brain does not go, oh, lick 22. Oh, here comes lick 46. I don't think that way at all. All I do is I sift through the content that I'm trying to learn and find the best ones that make sense to me, to my brain, to my fingers. And those are the ones that then I absorb into my playing. I keep messing with them and keep, you know, playing them, practicing them over and over and over until they become part of the way I play. So when I grab the guitar and I'm going to play, that falls out of there.
Got it. That totally makes sense. So we've got three of the five licks that we're going to cover today. Guys, if you're enjoying this, you'll love Steve's course, Blues Licks. It is available at GuitarZoom.com. Show us what else you got, my friend.
All right, so the fourth lick, we're going to bring things back together. We're actually going to be looking at a chromatic style lick instead of spreading things out with our fingers. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to the A on the 12th fret of the fifth string here, and I'm going to play 10, 11, 12, and then 10, 11, 12 on the next string. Now those notes right there, there's a lot of things, ways we could approach that, but I'm going to give you just a nice straightforward way of doing this. I'm just playing 10, 11, 12, 10, 11, 12. So it really becomes like a three note per string pattern, which if you're a speed player, you know what I'm talking about. So my pick is able to go down, up, down, up, down, up. And it's very symmetrical, so it's very easy to remember. And then all I'm simply going to do is move up a whole step and play the exact same thing right there. So I have, so it makes for a cool, well, I'm not done, but it makes for a cool little lick that's a little bit easier to play. You know, it's not spread out all over the place. It's just straightforward using these three fingers. And then you decide how you want to play it. Do you want to play it fast? You want to play it slow? And then what I'm going to do here is I'm going to move up a whole step again. So now I'm on 14. Now the difference here is on the next string, I got to move up to 15 because of the tuning of these two strings. So I'm going to play 15, 16, 17. So that one requires me to kind of shift over there. So I have three groupings of six notes. And then I end with 15, 16, 17, which is what I started on. And again, I'm ending on the A. Have that chromatic kind of bluesy sound. And it sounds kind of cool.
That is like the bipolar opposite of the intervallic thing that you showed us last time.
Exactly. And one may make more or less sense to a certain player and feel better than one. Like this one requires more of a kind of a sweeping control of your pick kind of playing, where this one is kind of down and dirty. You know, you can always make a million things with it, but that's the basic idea. So
it's super cool. Could you give us an idea of how, at least in my mind, I was thinking when you just showed us that last lick number four, you wouldn't have to put all of that together.
No,
you just choose like.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's just like the diminished idea. You can build them. Like sometimes what we wind up with as guitar players is we wind up with a lot of little licks. And sometimes you want something that goes, dude, you know, I always think like that old rock star or what was that game where you had the guitar and you had the drums, that video game? You know what I'm talking about?
I wasn't a big gamer.
Okay, but you could have the fake guitar and you'd move the things and press the buttons. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. But the drums, you could win extra points if you just played whatever drum fill. But if you hit the cymbal on the very last thing, you get the points. You get bonus points. So that's a kind of a prime example of wanting a lick that's longer. And instead of just having where you're just doing three or four notes and it's just that thing, sometimes you want something that's longer that fills more space. And that's what a lick like this and many other licks, but this is the one we're focusing on now, that they do. But at any time, any of those licks can be broken down into just individual pieces. So let's say I was playing this lick I did for you earlier. Right? And I did something like that, or I go, and I go to a completely different place. And I put chromatics down here. You know, I was thinking like the cool stuff, like, like the Jimmy Page sorts of like those chromatic runs, things like that, which are really fun.
Yes. Actually, this is totally not blues, but it just reminded me of that chromatic lick in Hangar 18.
Yeah.
That dude does something like that. And that's, wow, let's drug that right out of the old, like, 20-year memory bank.
There's all kinds of cool places we can go with lots of that stuff. But that's the idea, is that it might be easier for you to visualize and be able to use. And it doesn't have to be fast. You can play it any way you like, so.
That's a great point, actually. It doesn't have to be fast. Just because you can play it fast, it doesn't mean you have to play it fast. Very cool. All right, dude. So this is really awesome. Are we up to lick number five now?
Yep. This is the last lick.
The last lick. I'm a little bit sad right now. I'm about to shed a tear. Don't let it end. No, this is good. So this is lick number five of these kind of modern. I don't really love the word modern because it's like a fusion thing. It's like this ear bending thing. It makes it a lot. It's just something you can just pull out of the air and like incorporate into your solo that just makes the person go, what? You know, makes it musical. It doesn't just sound like a scale. I don't know. It's hard to describe, man. We're musicians. We have to hear it, which I think is cool. So show us lick number five.
Okay. So with lick number five, I'm going to go back to this shaped idea of the diminished. Okay. But instead of playing 5-8-7-5-8, what I'm going to do is I'm going to convert this 8-7-8. I'm going to move that up a half step, and it becomes an A7 chord. So I'm actually playing 9-8-9, which is what it really should be. Okay, but I'm going to keep the bottom end very similar. So now what I've got is I've got this big stretch from 5 to 9, and I've got this 8 right here. So remember, diminished looked like this. It was going from 8 to 5 to 7. Well, what I've did is I've expanded that out now. And of course, I'll do stuff like that too, but that's a whole nother story. So we're going to keep going here. So I come down that. There's my next 9, right? And then what I do here is drop down to that 6 instead. So I'm keeping kind of this major sound now. But if you look at the shape, they're very similar to each other. So I'm playing 6, 9, 8, 5, 9. Okay. So with that, again, see how I just follow that?
Ooh, that was sweet.
And then maybe something kind of traditional. And then drop into maybe that over the 5 chord or something like that, right? So there's just so many cool ways that you can visualize this. So what I do is I visualize these shapes and explore all the sounds. You know, I can cut right through with pentatonic or blues. You see? But I've got that diminished sitting right there. This new major sound that I just showed you. Now I switch this to a 6, although, I mean, it could be a 5. It could be, you could do anything you want with this stuff. I'm just giving you some ideas. So I'll make these cool little repetitive sort of Nuno Betancourt-ish. You know, kind of things where you're moving back and forth. You know, maybe over the 4 chord you're doing this. Over the 1, you move it up like that. You know, I mean, there's lots of really neat ways that you can use these.
Bro, that sounds so cool, man. This has been a really fun session. And just getting to hear how you can take these notes or a little bit out of the scale, a little bit out of the, I don't know how you exactly explain it. You have to actually play it and hear it. But when you hear it, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Of course you do. You're the guy teaching the class. What the hell am I thinking? Listen, guys, hey, if you're enjoying this and you enjoy these 5 licks, this is what Steve's new course is all about, Blues Licks. It's available at guitarzoom.com. A whole lot of people have already enrolled in that thing, and it's very reasonable price. It's basically what you would pay for 1 guitar lesson. I mean, it's just a no-brainer deal. And it's chock full of all of this. There's 80-something licks. I'm not even sure how many there are. You don't have to go sequentially through everything. You can skip around and figure out what you want to learn to play and whatever appeals to you. If you like the more classic stuff, do that. If you like the more modern stuff, do that. More fusion, do that. If you want to mishmash it all. And the whole idea is for you to take all these licks and put them together to become your own and then incorporate them into your style in the way that benefits you the most. So, Steve, thanks so much for being here, my man. I really appreciate it, and I hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you got something out of this, please like, share, comment, all of that stuff. And if you want to get the full-blown course and learn all this stuff even faster, Blues Licks by Steve Stein, new course available at guitarzoom.com. Steve, thanks again.
Yep, thanks, Dan. Talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Bye, guys.
Next time on the Steve Stein Guitar Podcast, or continue on. So that's kind of the second idea of connection. Now, the most important one for me is the third one here, which is the way I move across the fretboard. When I play a lick and I end, I make a conscious decision to move. And as I move across the guitar, the finger that I land on dictates what's going to be coming next.
Hmm.
If I'm on my third finger, I'm going to probably be working this direction. Hey, Steve Stein here from GuitarZoom.com, and thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, can I ask you a favor?
please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Your feedback means more to me than you'll ever know. And be sure to check out my YouTube channels where you'll find over 1,000 videos to help you with your guitar playing. Thanks again for listening. Stay positive, keep playing, and keep having fun.
If you'd like some help with your guitar playing, but you're not sure how to get started, go to guitarzoom.com and look for the Help Me Choose survey. By answering a few simple questions, you'll get Steve's personal recommendation of the perfect course for you. All this and more is available for you at guitarzoom.com.